Lord, we're with the psalmist this morning who says, when I see the works of your hands and all that you've made, the majesty that's all around us, the splendor, the design, the order, not just one kind of butterfly, but hundreds of different kinds of butterflies, different colored wings and different birds, yellow and red and gold, and some look like they were painted in some artist's studio, wood ducks. What is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you would visit him? We need you. We need you, God. Your church needs you, but our world needs a church that's filled with your presence. I got a demerit today, Lord, in my own heart. A man had to leave here and go home because he was hurting. There's supposed to be healing in this house. I don't blame that on anyone else but myself. I need you, and I don't know all the magic words to say. There are people that are hurting in this building today in their emotions. There are people who are fatigued. There are people whose hands are hanging down because they're weary. Would you refresh today? And maybe I shouldn't be so transparent in the presence of your people, but God, I am as needy as anyone in this building. Help me in the sharing of this word this morning. Help us, Lord, this morning to hear your voice. Use me like you would use a glove. Put your hand inside of me, your heart inside of me, and speak into the lives of those of us gathered here today. For all that you are, I give you praise in Jesus' name, and for what you're about to do, I say thank you. Amen. One more time, would you turn to somebody next to you and let them know, boy, I am glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Good to see Jorge this morning. Glad you're here, sir. My daughter loves you, Sean. She said, you ought to be a comedian. She was telling that you kept her laughing, and so glad to see you. And I'm glad you brought your wife with you. Yay. Good to see Wendy, and just thrilled that all of you are here today. I hear echoes of the Old Testament in my own heart this morning. Good to see you, sir. You did come. There's a scene in the Old Testament where Gideon is in a wine press. You remember? And he's threshing wheat. Why would a man be in a wine press threshing wheat? He's afraid. There's an enemy that lurks on the hills, and he is seeking to get what he needs to sustain life, but he's doing it in a secret place. He's hiding out. Maybe he's a man of good sense. And when the angel of the Lord shows up and calls him a mighty man of valor, he asks a question. If God's with us, where are all his miracles? If God's with us, then where are the answers? I'm not here to encourage your doubt, but I just want to be honest this morning. If God is with us, then why did Dwayne have to go home? And it's not to put anything on him. If God is with us, I see a nod. I just needed a little encouragement there. If God is with us, says Gideon, then, and there is the angel standing in his presence. When you open the Bible, you don't go two verses and suddenly you're confronted with the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God brooded over the waters like a dove hovering, waiting. Somebody said that when Jesus was baptized, he was waiting for Jesus. The Spirit of God was there in creation. His power evident in all that takes place. God speaks. The Word was present. The Father was present. The triune God was there. And the power of God, the Holy Spirit, brings forth what God demanded and what God declared. Let there be light, and there was light, and so on and so forth. As you travel into the pages of Scripture, it isn't long before you come to the pre-flood people, and God says, my Spirit won't always strive. God, the Spirit, was dealing with that people to try to keep them from experiencing the judgment that would come with the flood. God's Spirit was actively involved in the lives of those people, dealing with them. But how many of you know God doesn't override the will? I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm not a Calvinist. I'm an Arminian. I believe God has given us free will, and we can exercise that against the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't override our will. He seeks to influence us. And that entire generation, except for Noah and his family, would die in a flood that would come because they did not submit to the dealings of the Holy Spirit. Let me back up a second. There is the Spirit of God in the beginning hovering over darkness and void, over emptiness, over nothingness. I think God does his best places in the hard, his best work in the hard places. Say it with me. God does his best work in the hard places. When everything seems lost, when everything seems like it's not going to come through, when everything is against you, when Goliath is standing on the hill, God will raise up someone and anoint someone to take care of the situation. There he is in the beginning, in the darkness. Some of you know he brought change. And there in that early creation, he deals with humanity and gives them a chance, just like he's doing today. He seeks to draw them and to get them to move away from their sin and toward God. Of course, we know the story. The flood comes, and the world that then was covered with water, except for Noah and his family. You come forward and you find a man by the name of Joseph. Again, it's in a difficult place. Where is Joseph? He's this young man with a dream, with a beautiful robe, with his father's love, and he winds up being hated by his brothers. He's sold into slavery. He winds up at Potiphar's house. Like cream, he rises to the top, but Potiphar's wife has got eyes for him and winds up lying about him. He winds up in jail. Somebody in this place, you may be thinking, and maybe you've thought this week, that it seems like the more I seek to serve God, the harder it gets. Seems like the more I'm faithful to God, the tougher the licks become. Come on. It's okay to be honest. I mean, I've thrown pews around because I was all ticked about all of that. Not this week, but I don't think I could pick up one anymore. But there in that hard place, God gives this man in prison an interpretation to a dream. God's still with him. The hand of the Lord was on him when he was at home. The hand of the Lord was on him when he was in Potiphar's house. The hand of the Lord was on him when he was in the prison. The hand of the Lord was on Joseph when he was forgotten by the butler and the baker. Amen. God hadn't forgotten about you, and God's timing is impeccable. There are times when it seems like he's wound it all up and walked away from it. He's forgotten about us. But look at somebody and tell you, he's not slack concerning his promises. If he promised, he will do what he promised. Joseph winds up in the palace. And I have always believed that that was the toughest test he ever experienced, because in that place he had the power to kill his brothers, and he didn't. He recognized God's destiny for him was to save life, not to take life. And all of that in Joseph's life is seen as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in that man's life. You move forward and you find a guy by the name of Moses. Say with me, Moses. His name means drawn out. From the very beginning, he was the enemy's target. The enemy wanted to take him out, but God had a purpose for him. His mother is instructed to put him in a little basket, to put him in the Nile. He floats along, alligators slipping off. Somehow it winds up in the hands of Pharaoh's daughter. She takes and gets Moses' mother. How many of you know the devil thinks he's going to win, but God sets him up. Yeah. And there he takes that little baby. Pharaoh's daughter says to Moses' mother, would you raise this child? Suddenly he's protected. He wasn't protected before, but now he's protected because this is now Pharaoh's son or Pharaoh's daughter's son. God would anoint him. He would go back to Egypt and he would lead the people of God out of Egypt by a mighty hand, and it would be the hand of God. By the time God got finished emptying him and refilling him, Moses went from being one who was great in words and deeds to one who didn't think he knew how to talk. Our reliance upon the Spirit of God is brought about sometimes by our circumstances where we are emptied and we don't know what else to do. Where we've emptied our ideas, where we've run out of the list, no more rob Peter to pay Paul, rob Paul to pay Peter. We've run out of ideas, and suddenly it's like we're in the hand of God. Like the woman who went to see her doctor, and the doctor said, listen, we've done everything we know to do. We've given you chemo, radiation, and we don't know what to do. This is in the hands of God. And she said, has it come to that? Look at somebody next to you and say, that's the best place to be. But sometimes it's in the darkness, it's in the emptiness, in the barrenness. Sometimes it doesn't happen until it's in the prison. Amen. You run out. There's nothing left. There's no more great ideas. And we just throw ourselves on our bed sometimes, and it's like we just give up. Moses was fatigued. He was taking care of all these people, and he had to deal with all of their problems. And God knew he needed help. So he told Moses, get 70 elders, and you bring them up the mountain with you, and I'm going to take the spirits on you, and I'm going to put it on them, and they're going to be able to help you. He didn't say get some talented men, some educated men. He said get some men who are elders, who are leaders, who are mature men, and you bring them up here with you, and I'm not going to leave this to human ingenuity or human ideas or human philosophy or human education. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put my spirit that's on you, I'm going to put it on them. Somebody say, we need the Holy Spirit. You know, this is one of the funniest stories in the Bible for me. And if I ever have two more children, that would be a miracle. And then that says, no. I'm going to name them Eldad and Medad. There were 70 elders, and 68 of them went up the mountain with Moses. And guess what? When the time came for God to put the Spirit on them, two of these guys were still down in the camp. Listen to me. God doesn't anoint places in geography. He anoints people. He doesn't anoint places, a mountain, a building. He anoints people. Amen. He enables them. And so there, 68 of them are up there on the mountain, and two of them are down in the camp. And guess what their names were? Eldad and Medad. God Dad and my dad. Eldad and Medad. And one of the young men in the camp came up to Moses and said, Moses, we got a problem. We got some Baptists down here that are talking in tongues. That's not exactly what he said. He said, they've got two guys in the camp, and they're elders. They're not on the mountain, and they're prophesying. The Spirit of God has come on them. I mean, you know, God doesn't have any boundaries. You can call yourself Assemblies of God, Methodist. You can call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. God will spill over all of those human man-made boundaries, and he will do what he wants to do. Amen. Say, well, I just don't think God uses women anymore. Well, you're just a bit late. Joel said, upon my handmaids and my servants. And those two guys prophesied down in the camp. And when that guy came and said to Moses, they're prophesying. They don't have ordination papers with us. Moses said, I wish that all God's people were prophets. I wish that Israel was a community of prophets. He wishes it. You move forward and the Spirit of God comes upon Saul as Samuel pours oil on him. He anoints him to lead the people of God, a governing ability. The Spirit comes upon priests. The Spirit comes upon the artisans who are to make the articles of furniture for the tabernacle. God didn't leave it to human ability and talent. He anointed them and he gave them the wisdom to know how to make these articles of furniture and what they ought to look like. God doesn't leave it to chance. His Spirit comes to give direction and enablement and empowerment. You come to where Saul is anointed, and of course he messes up. And God says, I got a man who's after my own heart. He's a man who wants what I want. He takes the Spirit off of. Not that there's a limitation, but God doesn't anoint our ego. He doesn't anoint our will. He doesn't anoint our agenda. He anoints for his purposes so that we can serve and be enabled to serve his purpose. And he places his Spirit upon a little guy about 16, 17 years old by the name of David. Don't you love David? Now, the Spirit of God doesn't come and enforce God's will. He comes to influence us with God's will. The proof is Saul was anointed of the Spirit, but he did what he wanted to do and got in trouble. David himself later on would mess up. The Spirit of God doesn't force us that we can't make a mistake anymore, that we're just going to... No, there is a cooperative thing that goes on between us and the Holy Spirit. And in all of those cases, he comes to enable them to fulfill some purpose in the mind of God. He doesn't come just to Samson, for instance, to enable him just to go around beating up on people. He was a judge. He was a deliverer. And there was a purpose. So God empowered him to fulfill his purpose. Jephthah, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. It says of Gideon, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. He enabled them. There is power. He is the Spirit of power. He's the Spirit of might. He's the Spirit of counsel. He's the Spirit of wisdom. It's the sevenfold Spirit that John refers to as the seven spirits of God. One Spirit, but his manifold abilities are in view here. And he has every ability that you and I need to live this life victoriously and to accomplish the purpose of God. Can I just interject this? And that is that he is a person. That is not anthropomorphic form like I have, but that he has personality. He can be grieved. He can be lied to. He reasons with us. He can reveal. He talks. Let him that has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the church. He communicates. You can communicate with him. So he is someone we can interact with. He understands your language. He understands who you really are. He knows your makeup from beginning to end. He knows your mama and your daddy, and he still wants to use you. Hallelujah. Got your rap sheet, and he says, I'm bigger than that. He knows all of your excuses, Moses, and he's bigger than that. He knows everything that's a kink in your life, and he knows how to straighten it out. He knows the dips and the mountains that you're going to face, but he's got the strength to make it a plain, straight way. Come on, somebody. Yes, we're in a battle, and yes, there are some folks this week that got hit. But guess what? They didn't give up. They are getting up, and they are going to continue to serve God because the Spirit of God that was on Samson is inside of them. Amen. You come forward and to the new, well, I don't want to miss one in Ezekiel. Remember, can these bones live? The prophet's a smart man. He goes, only you know. Say it with me. You know. You know. I have no idea, but you know. You know. And God, when that miracle begins to take place, has him speak to those bones, and the Spirit of God, like a wind, comes across the bones, and they start clacking together, and then sinew and muscle and fiber, and then the skin, and they live. And God says, can I do with this people? God can take a dead church, turn it into a fiery lighthouse. God can take a weak voice and give it strength. God can give a discouraged saint a dose of encouragement. Some of us need a big, a big cup of encouragement this morning. We need an encounter with God that we can walk away from our wine press and we can step out into the world and say, I got a jar in my hand. It doesn't look like much. There's a light on the inside of it. But I say the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon, or should we say it this way, the sword of Gideon and the sword of the Lord. It's the sword of the Lord that's going to win the battle. And when they broke the jars and hollered that, the enemies turned on one another. The battle is not over. We may have taken some licks, but look at somebody next to you and tell them the battle's not over. This battle is going to be won by the Spirit of the Lord. This battle is going to be won because God's power is more than enough to conquer every foe that stands before us. And it may not go down the way that you planned. You may have to go through Potiphar's house and through the prison and be forgotten a couple of years. And you may face your biggest challenge in the place where you thought your biggest victory would be. But how many of you know that God's big enough, if you will yield to him, if you give him place, if you'll surrender to him, God is big enough to see you through hell.
Amen. Come on.
Come on, I hope I didn't offend anybody with that one. Can these bones live? God, can you get us through this? Not a matter of can I get you through this. It's a matter of can you believe through this? Can you just hold on? Can you just remain loyal? Can you stay faithful? That's what Joseph did. When Joseph had the opportunity to get a little pleasure in the midst of his problem, how many of you know he didn't do it? It cost him. Somebody lied about him. Somebody lied about you. Where you at, God? Where you at? It ain't time yet. Somebody say it with me. It's not time yet. He's not slack concerning his promise. But there's some things that he's doing that we're ignorant of. And the Spirit of God, his power is big today as it ever was. I don't understand all that he does. I don't. But he didn't call me to give me understanding of everything. He called me to do the task that I'm supposed to do, and he empowers me to do that. I don't have answers for the whole world. I just know that God called me to do what I'm doing, and I'm going to do it till I drop dead. Somebody said, when you going to retire? Well, if you hear I retired, they put me in a casket.
Amen.
You don't retire, you die. And then it really gets good. Say it with me. This is not a time for giving up. This is a time for getting up. Looking the enemy in the eye and saying, I don't know what he's up to, but Goliath, you're going down. I may not be the one to do it, but you're going down. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to throw in the towel because that's just what you want me to do. But I'm going to rely on the Spirit of God because every superhero that you know has some power or powers that enable them to do things that human beings can't do. And the only way we can do what God's called us to do is to rely on the Holy Spirit. You come forward to the New Testament and there's Jesus being baptized in the Jordan River and the Spirit descends on him. That Spirit that was hovering back there in Genesis comes and lights on Jesus, and Jesus will stand in a little synagogue and he will say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. He's anointed me. Later on, he will say, what I do by the finger of God. Then he would define the finger of God as the Spirit of God. What he did was by the Holy Spirit. And then he tells his disciples, you know, that it's going to be a comforter that's going to come that I'm going to send. When I'm gone, I'm going to send another comforter just like me. Someone who's going to stand alongside of you and help you accomplish what I've called you to do. And our task is to win the world. Our task is to live this life when everything is against us, to still believe when the enemy has come and just got both his barrels sticking in our eye, that we can look at him and laugh and say, God is still God and I'm not going to cave in. Jesus did what he did by the finger of God, by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. John 14, 15, 16. You go home and read it. He said, when the Spirit comes, he'll bring things to your remembrance. He will reveal things to you. There were things the disciples didn't understand, but after his ascension and resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, suddenly things begin to make sense. Listen to me. There are things that don't make sense right now. But God's got this. Don't strain your brain. Say it with me. Don't strain your brain. Come on. Don't strain your brain. You ain't going to figure it out. Because God doesn't always do things that make sense. Spit in the mud and stick it in a guy's eye. Couldn't he just say, be healed? Come on. I got enough problems. You put dirt in my eye, that hurts. His ways are higher. Call unto me and I will answer you. And I'll show you things you don't know. There you go. You don't know. Say it with me. I admit it. I don't know. But he does. Sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought. We don't know what the answer is. We think we do. We think we know what would satisfy us. But what is God? And so the Spirit, Romans 8, the Spirit helps us. He comes alongside. That's what the word helper, parakletos, is one who comes alongside to take hold up with us and to help us to do what we can't do. I remember years ago I was praying. I was pastoring in Belchase. And I had hit a wall and I didn't know what to do. And I heard the Spirit of God, or God say this to me, why don't you let the Spirit help you pray? He really knows how to put people over in prayer. So the Spirit helps us. I think what we need to do is get in the closet and start praying and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I made space for you right here next to me. You come in and help me pray. Come on, somebody. You've been there. You've done that. And then he takes over. How many of you know you can just, he brings you through to that, I don't know how else to say it, the old timers, they would say, that place of breakthrough, where we pray through. We don't just get through. We get through. We get through to God, and I've been heard on high. And you come out of that prayer closet after the Spirit of God has energized you and helped you. You got a different attitude. You've got a different look on things. Your heart is encouraged. Your countenance is lifted up. You got a cockiness about you. And that's what happened that day when they were persecuted, and they went back to their own company, Acts 4, and they prayed, and the building where they were was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with cockiness, with boldness, with full assurance. Some people would look at them and say they're just arrogant. No, they just have a no-so about them. There is a deep no-so inside of their spirit. They met with the power from on high, and they know they're on assignment and that God is going to honor what they're doing. And they went about preaching, and God worked special, special miracles through the hands. God knows what he's doing. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Oh, there's some folks who went on to glory before us, but that's their benefit, not ours. We left behind here to keep this battle going. They're not in a bad place. And if you brought them back here, they'd slap the fire out of you. I was talking with Cheryl about that yesterday. I know she misses her mom. And coming back to church and being here without her mom brought back memories. But you know something? That little lady, we could start talking about Jesus or start praying in the hospital, and she just tears well up in her eyes. She was sensitive to the Spirit of God. How many of you know we need him? I'm going to say this, and I don't know if this will register right or not, but we need him more than we need answers. And the world needs a church that's full of the Holy Spirit. Which brings me towards the last stretch in this journey that we're on this morning. There's so much to say here. But he's wisdom to us. You know, there are nine gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. That's his toolbox. And I'm not sure that that's all of them. he can cause iron to float. I say, are you listening? And it's not just the gift of healings. It's the gifts of healings, or a gift of healings, plural. There's not a dis-ease he can't deal with, so when he doesn't, I have to trust his wisdom. When a mama dies prematurely and daughter needs mom, I know that's grievous, but how many of you know God knows things about that I don't? Let me finish out. Come to the book of Revelation. The Spirit of God is there. Let him that has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He's a speaking spirit. And if we listen, because sometimes we're so busy telling God our problem, we don't take time to listen to see what God's got to say.
Well, you don't know how bad it is right now. And I tell you what, if you don't do something soon, I might just give up.
No response. If God is with us, then where are all his miracles? Guess what? God had showed up in that moment to perform one and to use this guy. Sometimes we're so blinded by the problem, we can't see God when he shows up. And then like Moses, we go, well, here am I, send Aaron. Lord, I don't think you can use me. You got the wrong guy. I think David could have defeated Goliath if he had turned and looked 180 degrees away from Goliath and through the rock. I think the Spirit of God would have U-turned it and put it right in his forehead. Well, I think we ought to give God our best and be obedient, but I'm going to tell you, the outcome is not going to be about you. They didn't sing about the rock. They sang about David. He's killed his thousands. And God uses nobody so that in the end, he can get the glory. He uses out-of-the-way places to do great things because people there, just not many mighty, not many noble. The foolish things of this world to confound the wise, because they're going to look at you, Denny, and they're going to look at me, Lewis, and they're going to go, how in the world they do that? I know them. They ain't that smart. Nothing against you, Denny. That's why I put myself in there. The devil says, you can't bet anybody in that village to believe you. You've been married 5 times, and the man you with now ain't your husband. God can't use you. Where do these characters come from? I think of multiple personality disorder or something. God can't use you. And then Jesus says to his disciples, don't say 4 months and then comes the harvest. Here they come. I used to wrestle with that text until recently. She didn't have that kind of influence. Look at somebody next to you and say, don't get all big-headed if you get a crowd. Because if you share the right message, the message will draw the crowd, not the man. If you preach the gospel has the drawing power, and the Spirit draws people to the gospel and to Jesus. I'm going to get in trouble. In the Old Testament, there was an old prophet who was trying to go down, earn some money, and curse some people. He was on the back of a jackass. That's what the King James, all you King James people, he was on the back. Well, it doesn't say it that way. Should I say it the way the King James says it? It says the dumbass spoke. I just lost a week's pay there. But that's what the King James says. Okay, for you sensitive folks, the donkey said. The dumbass spoke. That it didn't have the ability to do that, and it did. Said, haven't I always been a good mule, and you here you are beating on me? What's the matter with you? And told him there was an angel up there who was about to kill him, and he was trying to save his life, and he's beating on him. If God can use... You got the word. Then he can use me. Amen. And he can use you. One final thought. Day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God is poured out, the promise of the Father, the wish of Moses and the promise that came through Joel's pen is fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And they all spoke with tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. And people were listening. It was not the gift of hearing or the gift of ears. It was the gift of tongues. Are you with me? It was not the gift of ears, hearing. The miracle was in the speaking. The speakers spoke languages they didn't know. And the people that were listening heard them speak in their own language. The miracle was in the speaking, in that this wasn't working. Mine doesn't work most of the time. But this wasn't working. What was happening was they were functioning beyond their ability. What does that say about the Spirit in you and you and I? That God can do things through us that we don't have the education for, don't have the ability for. That's so exciting, Denny. God uses the foolish things, the things that are nothing, to bring to naught the things that seem to be. If God's with us, then where are all his miracles? He doesn't do them on demand. Times and seasons are in his hands. He's called me to trust and to be being filled constantly with the Spirit. A man who is filled with alcohol is under the influence of alcohol. A man who's filled with anger is under the influence of anger. A man who's filled with love is under the influence. You'll get a DUI if you get on the road tanked.
That's right.
Driving under the... I pray that we all get guilty of being under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Be being filled, 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 not with wrath, not with anger, not with fear, not with doubt. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. He comes to enable, but we have to cooperate and listen. The power is in the Spirit. The ability is in the Spirit. The wisdom is in the Spirit. And that's the reason we tried to walk through some of the Old Testament stories, New Testament, and into where we are today. If God could use, then he can use me. Isn't there a song like that? If you can use anyone, Lord, use me, something. Huh? Father God, thank you for the seal, the earnest of our expectation, the down payment is the Spirit of God. You indwell us, but you want to flood our life. You want to overflow us. You want to empower us to be your witnesses. Lord, the ability to speak in tongues is not the end. It's the means to the end. It enables us to pray in ways that we otherwise don't know how to pray. The fullness of the Spirit in our life enables us to be witnesses. The objective is witness and power to witness. I am not going to in any way assume that if I had more education, not that that wouldn't help, but God, it is by the power of your Spirit that you accomplish what you accomplish. If you could speak through a donkey, if you could make an iron head float, that man didn't do it, you did. Moses didn't open the water, you did. Moses didn't feed those people in the wilderness, you gave them manna. Maybe we're asking the wrong question. If God is with us, then where are his miracles? Maybe the question should be, am I with God? Rest our hearts today, God. Make us hungry, thirsty, not just for miracles, but for you. That while we're waiting in Potiphar's house, that we can serve you and find our satisfaction and contentment in you. And when we're in the prison, and when we're forgotten, that we don't need glittering gold faucets to be happy. But we find our joy in you, Jesus. Not if God is with us, where are miracles? Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. The miracles are in you and your timing. And we're overdue. You're looking for a people through whom you can show yourself strong. Not someone who is strong that can do something for you, but people who will run to you because they know without you they cannot do anything. We need you, Holy Spirit. Oh, we need you this morning, Lord. Our world needs you. We lose. look to you. Fill us afresh with your presence, Lord. It's not in the ritual. It's not in the form. It's in you, oh God. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you. How many of you agree with me that the answer to our world's problem and the answer to the church's problem is we need him? If that's your conviction, would you right where you stand just lift both of your little paws up to heaven? And would you just tell him, God, we need you. Fill us afresh. Fill us afresh with your presence, Lord. Fill us afresh with your presence like you did in Acts 4. Fill us fresh with your presence. Fill us fresh. Empower us, God, not just emotion, not just tongues, but the power of your presence in our life. Help us to speak the word with boldness. We need you, Lord. We need you. Our world needs you. We need you to live this in the face of the enemy. To slay Goliath, to see the dead bones live. We need you, Lord. We need you. We need you. We're desperate. We're desperate, Lord. We're desperate. We need you. The power of your presence, your anointing. I will show you my love, show you my mercy. I will be to you your salvation. I will show you my love, show you my mercy. I will be to you. when Gideon was sent out, he had 30,000 men with him. 30,000, an army of 30,000. Guess what God said? Too many. And he divided them, those who were taking care of themselves, he sent them home. How many of you remember how many he had when he went into battle? 300. It is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I believe God is raising up some folks who are serious about this. Not just onlookers, but people who have God's plan at heart, his interest at heart. He's not going to put the Spirit on us to do what we want. He puts the Spirit on us to accomplish his purpose. There's somebody in this place, you're connecting. Some of you are on the verge. Can we just press just a little more? You're Gideon's 300. Those anointed of the Spirit to accomplish God's purpose. Some of them are in this room. God, fill me afresh with your presence. Help us, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Touch Sister Callie, minister. Touch Dwayne. They're not on the mountain with us. But your Spirit comes on people, your healing touch. Your healing touch. Down in Providence Baptist, Mount Ararat, Will Height Methodist, Cedar Crest, First Assembly, First West. Fill your people, Lord. Fill us, fill us. Fill us. Yes. One more thing before we go. If it's okay with your neighbor, would you take their hand in yours and don't pray for yourself. Pray for them. God, fill my friend. Fill my brother. Fill my sister. Fill my husband. Fill my wife. Fill my child. Fill my neighbor. Fill them with your presence, Jesus. Come on. Pray for one another. Fill them, Lord. Fill them afresh. Fill them afresh today, Jesus. Fill them afresh. Give them a big dose of encouragement today. Woo! Yes, Jesus. Yes, yes. Woo. Yes, Lord. Yes.
My God shall supply. Jehovah Jireh,
my provider.
His grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me.
My God shall supply all my needs
according to his riches in glory.
He will send his angels
charge over me.
Somebody's almost there. The fullness of your presence, Jesus.
All through the service, God has been speaking these words to me. Ashes. Some of our lives, some people have gone through things to where you feel like you don't have nothing left. You're just a heap of ashes. But God says he will take your ashes and there will be beauty. You're not through yet. Just because you're ashes now, you're not through yet. There's beauty coming through you and to you.
Come on, give the Lord praise. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus, could you not tarry 1 hour? Wait in Jerusalem. God, you're worth waiting upon. Your ways, your spirit, your power, you're able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. We have not because we ask not. We're asking this morning for the outpouring that took place 2,000 years ago. We want to stand in that place of reception. Oh, 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 yes, Lord. I will trust in you. say I am strong.
Let the weak say I am.
In the strength of the Lord.
In the strength of the Lord.
Come on, sing it again. It's our benediction.
You are my hiding place.
You always fill my heart.
My heart
with songs of deliverance.
Songs of deliverance.
Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Say it out loud. I am strong in the strength of the Lord. Lord, you're my strength. Your joy is my strength. Your power is available to us. Thank you for hearing our cry. And as we walk through this week, help us to realize that the Spirit who came upon Gideon and upon Moses and upon the elders resides in us and wants to whelm us in influence us, lead us, reveal to us. Use us to your glory, O God. May your church shine brighter in this dark world than it ever has before. And may your people, instead of having feeble knees and weak hands, stiffen up, stand tall, and be bold in the power and might of the Spirit. I will trust in you. I will trust in you.
Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. I will trust in you.
Yes, yes, yes.
I will trust in you. Let the
do one more thing before I let you go. You're going to scare yourself. Would you do something with me that may not be comfortable for you? You ready? With everything inside of you, could you declare this? I know anointing is not volume, but Gideon shouted, the sword of the Spirit and the sword of the Lord. The sword of Gideon and the sword of the Lord. We're going to shout. The sword of the Spirit and the sword of the Lord with everything that's inside of you. I know you're used to being quiet in church, but with everything inside of you, like it's your favorite football team on the field. You ready? One, the sword of the Spirit and the sword of the Lord. Two, three, the sword of the Spirit and the sword of the Lord. Woo! Yes, 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 yes. Lord Jesus, thank you for our time together this morning. You're not finished. And we're not finished. And beauty will come forth out of the ashes. Thank you, Lord, that you're at work and you will continue to work. We give you praise and honor. We thank you for the power to be loyal to you in these days and to be the people you want us to be. Some people are going to have an unusual experience this evening. They're going to get a nudge in the inside to talk to somebody. Or they're going to be sitting on the couch and be nudged to pray, and you're going to meet with them. They're going to be reading scripture, and it's going to start talking to them. They're going to actually understand what they're reading, and it's going to pour encouragement. And help us, Lord, to just walk this afternoon with you and sensitive to your spirit. Thank you for your ministry touch on our lives. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, God bless. See you tonight at 6 online.